Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for opening our eyes to the truth that's found in your word. Dear Lord, help us change from within. Take away everything that dishonors you and replace it with your love and purity. Lord, as we open the Bible today, we pray we hear your voice. We pray the Holy Spirit is on us. Help us, opens our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. May we be transformed in your likeness. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning. I'm like a bird dog on a leash this morning. I am ready to roll. And I didn't get hardly any rest last night, but you know what? God has refreshed me and recharged me somehow. You know, the Spirit of God just has a way of doing that. Amen. And I thank y'all for being here on Time Change Sunday. Liz told me I think they're going to leave that alone from here on out. Just leave it the way it is. Amen? I don't care which way we go. Just leave it alone. Amen. All right, we're in 1 Kings chapter 19. And while you're finding that, let me just kind of introduce what we're talking about this morning. In this year of getting free in 23... We moved through the first sermon series on getting free from sin. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at getting free from bondage. We're going to be looking at truth that addresses a lot of these issues and experiences that sometimes enslave us, bring us under bondage and under oppression. And one of those is discouragement. You may have the Eeyore syndrome this morning, and you're discouraged. And it happens from time to time. We get discouraged, we get disappointed, despondent, and even sometimes we get depressed. And so you may feel a little bit like the fellow who was dying in the hospital bed up there in the hospital, and he had his dear wife with him, and he just looked up at his wife. He said, "Honey, thank you for always being there for me." He said, "You were there for me right there by my side when I lost my job." He said, "You were there when I was in that horrible car accident. You were right there with me through that whole thing." He said, "I want to thank you for being with me when I went through a horrible, deep depression." He said, "You were right by my side. And then the time I fell off the roof, you were there for me. You were there to call the ambulance, and now here I am dying, and here you are right here by my side." And he said, "Thank you." And then the room fell quiet, and he began to reflect on what he'd said, and he looked at his wife, and he said, "Gladys, something just dawned on me. You're bad luck." You may be a little like this fella today. You're feeling a little discouraged, a little down and out, maybe even a tad depressed. And the whole world is caving in on you and that kind of thing. I want to tell you, that kind of stuff happens to every child of God from time to time. We get discouraged, we get despondent, and sometimes we even get clinically depressed. It happens. And even worse, there is a notion in the Christian community today that if you're serving Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus, you're going to have an easy life. You're not ever going to get discouraged. You're not ever going to get depressed. That's a lie from the pit of hell itself. If you're a child of God, you will get discouraged from time to time. Can I get a witness? I know y'all don't enjoy it, but right? Am I right? And so we're going to talk about freedom in the valley of discouragement this morning. And there's a man in your Bible by the name of Elijah. He was a great prophet of God. And you probably remember some of this, but he was at the top of his game I mean, he had just won a tremendous victory for God on Mount Carmel. He had defeated 450 prophets of the false pagan god Baal. And he had won this spiritual contest in light of the fact everyone's life was at stake. And God had sent the fire from heaven. And Elijah won a great victory. And Elijah was, he also had prayed earlier and predicted a drought. And God was so impressed with his passionate prayer that God sent a drought. And then when Elijah felt like it was time for the drought to end, he prayed that God would end the drought, and God sent rain. And so this is a man that's right in tight with God. This is a man that's clean and close with the Lord. And yet in the blink of an eye, he went from the mountaintop of victory to the valley of discouragement. And we're going to talk about that this morning, how to get free in the valley. Elijah got out of that valley, and you can too. Tell your neighbor, you can too. All right, let's look at First Kings chapter 19. Can we stand as we honor God's word? I know it's tough getting up and down. First Kings 19. I want to read the first four verses here. And Ahab, that's King Ahab of Israel, told Jezebel, say Jezebel with me. Jezebel. That name just doesn't even sound quite right, does it? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Lord Jesus, I know you're praying for us right now. And would you just pray, Lord, that the word of God might permeate our spirits, that we might say yes to whatever it is that you want us to do here today. Teach us how to get out of the valley of discouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Next few minutes, I want to just give you some sources of discouragement, symptoms of discouragement, and bless God, some solutions for discouragement. Are you ready? Now, y'all know there's a difference between sources and symptoms. Symptoms are just symptomatic of the real problem. And so you need to understand, you need to recognize, first of all, what the sources of discouragement and depression are, where they come from, what it is. And so I've got it, there's at least four, maybe five or six of them, four or five sources. But the first source of discouragement is forgetfulness. Elijah had, I think, kind of fallen into this notion that, you know, I can face today's challenges because of yesterday's victories. And that's not true. Every day is a source in and of itself. And what happened was he took his eyes off of God and got his eyes on Queen Jezebel and what she wanted to do to him. Now, Queen Jezebel was a wicked, wicked, wicked person. How many parents do y'all know that named their daughter Jezebel? I mean, and this woman is after the great prophet Elijah. And she sent a messenger to him that said, basically, I put a contract out on your life, big boy, and by this time tomorrow, you're going to wind up just like one of those prophets of ours that you killed. And so, what does Elijah do? He gets up and he runs. And you know, that's exactly what some of us do God will move in a great way on our behalf. And then Jezebel comes knocking at the door, and we get up and we run. We forget about God. Let me just tell you this. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to walk away from you. He is always with you. Keep your eyes on Him. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but don't forget about God. That's one of the sources of discouragement. We think, oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? Well, how many of you have heard somebody say, but God? God is in the equation and in the solution. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Forgetfulness. Here's the second one, fear. Fear. Elijah, when he heard what Queen Jezebel had said, King Ahab, you know, had gone home with his tail between his legs and said, honey, you'll never believe what happened today. This old prophet has killed all of our prophets and we're in a mess. And Jezebel heard that, and so she decides to put a contract out on Elijah. And Elijah hears that news, and he allowed his circumstances and situations to control him. And when that happens, the reaction is always fear. When you allow what's going on and what comes down your path to control you, you're going to react in fear. You know what God's desire is? When things come down your path, when things happen, when issues come up, rather than allowing whatever that is to control you, to get in the Scriptures and let the Scriptures control you, and then your reaction will be faith. How many of you know faith always conquers fear? And so fear, and by the way, let me say this. There is a promise to claim in the Word of God for every single thing that comes up against us. That includes temptation. That includes discouragement. That includes whatever it is you come up against, the Word of God has a promise that you can claim. Y'all believe me? If you don't believe me, get in the Word of God and find out for yourself. Amen. And so fear is the second source. And so Scripture provides that promise for us. Now, there's a third one, and it's fatigue. Fatigue is sometimes the third source of where discouragement and despondency comes from. And, you know, Elijah's wore plumb out. Do y'all know how far it is from Mount Carmel in Israel down to Beersheba? It's just about the whole length of the country. It's 300 miles. He's run 300 miles. And by the way, he's been on a long fast. And he's exhausted. He's wore plumb out. And no wonder he winds up under the juniper tree, amen? And I want to tell you, that's what happens to us sometimes. You may be a workaholic. You get up early in the morning, and you go hard at it all day long, and you eat on the run, and you fail to get proper rest and proper exercise. Let me just tell you, that you are open for discouragement if you live your life that way. How many, I really don't know how y'all do it. You single mamas, you're trying to make a living for your kids. And we may have some single daddies in here too. I guess I ought to include them. But you're trying to make a living for your family. You're listening to crying children all day, every day. You've got all kinds of household duties. And if you're not careful, you're going to get fatigued. You're going to get tired. You're going to get exhausted. You're going to get worn out. And so fatigue is a huge source of discouragement. And then here's the fourth one, failure. There's a reason, we mentioned it, instead of faith, he's operating under fear. But Elijah turns tail and runs like a chicken with his head cut off. And everybody in Israel had heard about, was there up on Mount Carmel, had heard about the great victory God had won through Elijah. Everybody knew about it. And now, I'm sure they'd all heard that Jezebel had a contract out on his life, and she's after him. And what does he do? He runs, scared to death. And so I'm sure he's feeling like a failure. Everybody knows about this. Oh my goodness, I have failed. I want to tell you, the devil is a master at that. He is a liar, and every time he's got his mouth open, right now he's sitting on somebody's shoulder in here and he's lying to you. You are not a failure. If you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl of God, you are more than an overcomer. Those are at least four sources of discouragement. What are they again? Forgetfulness, fear, fatigue, and failure. Y'all with me so far? You ever been there? All right, now let's reassess, now that we recognize some of the sources of discouragement, let's reassess the symptoms of discouragement. In verse 4, we see at least three symptoms. Now, symptoms, like I said, are symptomatic of a bigger problem. And the problem is in the sources, but the symptoms are a sign something's wrong. Hello? Hello? Here's the first symptom. Isolation. Isolation. If you're discouraged or despondent or even depressed, you're going to be tempted to hibernate in isolation. And that is the cardinal mistake that Elijah made. He got off all by himself. He totally isolated himself and got away from anyone who could help him. Now, when you find yourself discouraged and depressed and down and out, I mean, the tendency is you're going to want to withdraw. And you're going to want to get into bed and pull the covers up over your head and just hope it all goes away. Isolation. God did not create us to be isolated from one another. Hello? But guess who wants you to be isolated from everybody? The evil one. And so he's going to pull out all the stops to get you off all by yourself. And then he's going to tell you, oh, nobody knows what you're going through. You're all alone. Nobody understands. He's a master at that. And so isolation is one of those symptoms. And by the way, what's the worst party you can attend? Yeah, a pity party. Isolation leads to having pity parties. And let me say this, helplessness is the second symptom. I'm sure Elijah feels helpless. And he'd grown so negative and pessimistic. Oh, God, nobody understands. Nobody gets it. I'm all by myself. I just want to die. He's feeling helpless. Can I just tell you, there's help out there. And you spell help J-E-S-U-S. He's there for you. And the people of God. I can't wait to get to the solutions. It's going to be really good. Some of y'all are even going to smile. And then there's, he's allowing fear and fatigue to rule his mind, of course, and so he feels totally helpless. And then he's got this defeated attitude. He's contemplating suicide, probably. He's deceived himself into thinking that he's all alone. Look at verse 10. Watch this. Verse 10. So he said, I've been very zealous. He's talking here. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Oh, my goodness. You understand what's going on here? He's deceived himself into thinking that he's all by himself, that he's all alone. Look at verse 18. Yet I have reserved, this is God speaking, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Man, Elijah's ready to throw in the towel, and everything that he's been deceived with is not true. What we need to do when you have those symptoms and they're beginning to build is check out the sources of your discouragement, and then you can really begin to get out of that valley of depression and discouragement. I don't know if you all have ever had to deal with any of that on a big basis, but let me say this to you. It's not a sign of weakness, fellas, to get some counseling. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. But there's also a notion around us that, you know, if you've got to go seek help, you're weak. That's a bunch of garbage. The Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. When you can get to the point where there's chemical imbalances and all this kind of stuff, and when that happens, man, go to God first and then go find you the best psychiatrist. Can I say that? There are godly doctors out there, y'all, that can help you. And so that's just icing on the cake here. But get some help and recognize that you need help. And so Elijah's down. He's out. He's discouraged. He's depressed. And he's isolated himself. He's feeling helpless. He's negative and pessimistic. And he thinks he's all by himself. And he's down. He's in the valley of discouragement. So what do you do? I'm glad you asked. Well, first thing you need to do when you wind up in this valley, and we're all going to get there, is you need to get physically recharged. Look at verse 5. Then, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake. I wonder what kind of cake it was. Baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, Elijah does something here. He's under the juniper tree, and he takes a nap. And then he gets some much-needed rest, and he ate. You know, when you get down and you get discouraged, you know, you have trouble sleeping and eating, right? And sometimes you just need to get a little R&R, rest and relaxation. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Now, if you're on R&R 24/7, 12 months out of the year, that's not good. But when you get down and you get worn out and you get tired and you get discouraged, you need to get some rest. Take a nap. That's what he does here. And he's getting physically refreshed. And you know, Billy, I just saw this week. This is just a side note here, but the angel of the Lord shows up here to help him. And that word angel is a capital A. Do you know who I believe showed up to help him? This is an Old Testament appearance of our New Testament Savior. And provided something for him to eat and encouraged Elijah. And then I got to thinking, Billy, you remember who showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration besides Jesus? It was Moses and who? And they were there to encourage Jesus as he went to the cross. Isn't that good? I haven't read any other commentator that ever said that. God gave me that this week. And the reason I think he gave it to me is because When Jesus encourages you, you can encourage him by doing what he says and get out of that valley. Hallelujah. That's a good word for y'all today. Get physically refreshed. Some good old R&R, and surround yourself with some people who are positive. Surround yourself with some people who will encourage you. I look across the congregation here this morning, and we got some Barnabases here. We got some real sons and daughters of encouragement. Get around somebody like that when you get down. Don't go looking for Eeyore. They're everywhere. Amen? Y'all do know who Eeyore is, don't you? Do y'all know who Eeyore is, kids? Yeah, okay. All right, so first solution there is get physically recharged. Now look at verse 9, get spiritually refreshed. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold," look at here, "the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Whoo, glory to God. Instead of looking down, and he should have looked above. He should have looked up. You see, he had completely lost sight of God. And he's attending to one party you ought to never go to. That's your own pity party. And by the way, can I say to you, God doesn't do pity parties. He doesn't need to. Now, he'll extend compassion to you. But he's not going to show up as an invited guest to your pity party. I've already ticked some of you off, I understand. But just know that. Just know that. That's truth. And by the way, you remember Elijah had said earlier up here in this passage, I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm no better than my fathers. Who told him that? And by the way, who told him that he had to be better than his fathers? Nobody. Nobody had told him that. And so Elijah, God, you see what God's trying to do here. He'd ask him twice. He asked him again here. Look at verse 13. "So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" That's the second time he's asked him that. And he said, "Well, I've been village zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword." He sounds like a broken record, doesn't he? "I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." You see, God had called Elijah to be a prophet of God. He was to be a prophet. And he wanted him to evaluate his priorities. That's why he asked him twice. "Why are you here, Elijah?" See, Elijah's in the wrong place. He's under a juniper tree, and then he winds up in a cave. And he's in isolation. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God wants him to get back on track spiritually. He wants him to refocus on who he is and what his priorities are. And so what did Elijah do? Well, he listened to God. Can I just tell you, I know I sound like a broken record, and Billy Walker does too. It is so important to get into God's Word for yourself. To listen and get a word from Him. I can't tell you how many times, y'all, pastors get discouraged. I can't tell you how many times I've been kind of down, a little bit discouraged. Come hang out with me the day after Easter and you'll see what I mean. Or any Monday morning. But here's the deal. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into the Word of God and just been opened up the Word of God and asked God to speak to me. And in an atmosphere of prayer also. And he says, "Elijah, listen to me." And isn't it amazing? God didn't speak to him in the high winds of a tornado or in an earthquake. He spoke to him in a still, small voice. What we would call a whisper. Why did God whisper to him? Because in order to hear someone whisper, you got to get real close to them.
Amen.
You would have had to pay big bucks to go to a seminar and hear that. I know what I'm talking about here. My mind goes back to many days when I've been ready to throw in the towel and discouraged. And I want to tell y'all, can I just be honest with you? Some of the meanest people on the planet are folks in the church. Whew. I've gotten to the point now, I'm old enough, I could care less what somebody else might say to me. All I'm worried about is pleasing Him. But God has to get me to that point. And over again, God has whispered to my spirit when I get with Him and listen to Him. Do like Elijah. Do like Elijah. Just get with God. Get in the Scriptures. Oh yeah, He might speak an audible voice from heaven. He may do that. But you got to get to where you can listen to Him. And just get quiet. And you know what? That still small voice will speak. Nothing refreshes you like God's Word. And then here's the third thing, and we're out of time. Bless God. We need to socially re-engage. Physically recharge. Spiritually refreshed. And then here's the third step, socially re-engage. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill." You see, God wants us serious about sin. You need to kill that mess. You need to put it to death. Hello? Verse 18. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God tells Elijah in that still small voice, "Elijah, son, get up out of this pity party and you go minister to some others who are in need." Amen. I want you to anoint two kings, and I want you to anoint the man who's going to replace you, the next prophet of God, Elisha. And by the way, that's what Elijah does. And can I just tell you, brother, sister, somebody's got it worse than you do. And if you'll get up out of your pity party when you're discouraged and you're down and you're out and you're wondering how in the world, just look around and ask God to give you somebody who's in need. And you know what He'll do? I've seen this many times, Bruce. He just lines them up in my path. Folks who need help. Folks who are spiritually dry themselves. And you know what? If I'll just do what God tells us to do and go help them, little by little, all my stuff, all my discouragement, all that stuff I'm depressed, it winds up in my rearview mirror. Hallelujah! And so next time you wind up like Elijah and you're in this valley of discouragement, recognize the sources of where discouragement come from, and then reassess the symptoms that you've got, and then, bless God, receive the solutions for your discouragement. By the way, there was somebody else who was in that valley of discouragement, that valley of depression. And you know what he did? He climbed a hill and died on a cross so that your greatest issue and mine could be settled and paid the price for all my sin. And you know what God the Father did? He raised him from the dead and put him on the mountaintop of resurrection. And I'll tell you, if God can raise his son from the dead, he can raise your soul from the deep. Because Jesus, hallelujah, he is the, he can turn your ashes into beauty. He can turn your sorrow into victory. He can turn your water into wine. He can turn your disappointment. He can turn your discouragement into joy. Hallelujah. Give him praise today. Well, that's the message. Yeah. But here's the deal. Are you going to receive it? Every time you read the Word of God or hear the Word of God, there's a response that's on our behalf that has to be made. Are you going to receive what God has for you today? You don't have to stay in that valley. You can get out because Jesus has won the victory for you. Father, in this time of response, oh God, would you deliver us from this bondage, this enslavement, this mess of this valley of discouragement. Oh God, get us out of that. I pray for everybody here. And Lord, sometimes the family of God just needs to take our masks off and just be real and say, I'm hurting. I'm discouraged. I'm in a struggle. I'm exercising more fear than I am faith. And we just need to be real with you and real with one another. We need one another. So I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would deliver us today from this issue. And God, there may be one or two or ten, maybe, I don't know, more than that, that are here today. And they need to be born again. They need salvation. They need Jesus. Oh, they've heard all about him. Their names may even be on a church roll somewhere. But they've never received the power of God. Their life's never really been changed. If you're here today, right where you sit, or up here at this altar, you can pray and agree with God about your sin and be so tired of it and sick of it that you're willing to turn from it and look to Jesus as your only means of salvation. If you'll ask him to forgive you, he will. And then you surrender your life to him. That's what it means to be the Lord of your life. Just call on him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you for this time. Give us the faith to do what you've called us to do. For those that need Christ, for those that need to be saved, help them to step out and come forward so that we can help them get started right in their new life with Christ. And then there are many others here, God, who have maybe a family member, or maybe we ourselves are discouraged. Oh, lift us up. Encourage us, God. Exalt our heads here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Andrew?
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Let's all stand.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.